Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper. I love the Missouri Ozarks. Love the state of Missouri. I've lived here almost my entire life. Still right in the center of the Ozarks, very close to the Merrimack River, which I love very dearly. Just finished up my deer season anyway. Probably won't be bow hunting anymore. But a hot topic that's going on all across Missouri and across the United States is chronic wasting disease. And I have on the program with me today Jason Isabel, who is the Cervid Program Supervisor for the Missouri Department of Conservation. Jason, it's good to talk to you again.
Same here, Bill. Appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, you bet. Hey, those of us out here in the outdoor media world, we got pounded just every day about the CWD situation, because if you follow social media at all, it's among outdoorsmen, it's certainly a hot topic and just kicked around every day. And there just seems like there's so much misinformation out there. And, of course, I've been a whole life supporter of the Missouri Department of Conservation. And I'm one of those old guys, you know, 76 years old, and I've lived through these decades where I was raised in Missouri Boot Hill. I didn't see a white-tailed deer or a wild turkey until I was almost 20 years old. I had wandered up into the hills and I was able one day to see both of those species. And, you know, in just a few decades here, I've seen our Missouri deer herd to expand to what, 1.5 million animals now, give or take. A wild turkey population exploded. And of course, that's my passion. I love chasing wild turkeys and spend more time at that than I do deer hunting, I suppose. But I love them both. And, you know, they're just kind of symbols of the state of Missouri and certainly symbols of grand success stories. But now here we are in a heated debate about CWD, and there's so many opinions out there, and everybody seems to have one. But being the age and, you know, the composition that I come from, my makeup, I really do lean on the Missouri Department of Conservation for fact, figures, and truth, and I've never been disappointed. So I want to quiz you just a little bit. Jason, I know you probably get tired of talking about this subject because I know you guys spend lots of time and energy about CWD. But one of the most talked about current issues is the fact that MDC just a couple weeks ago, I think, issued a statement that they were going to stop the targeted culling of deer. Can you speak to that issue for a couple, 3 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. Yeah, so as you mentioned, Bill, decision was made for our agency to pause our targeted removal efforts indefinitely at this point in time. It is a management tool that we've used for well over a decade now to effectively keep our CWD prevalence rates low, and there's plenty of evidence that it is a very effective tool to keep CWD prevalence rates low. But over time, we've seen, unfortunately, declining support for that specific management tool, which has led to declining participation among landowners, which, of course, is a little bit variable in different parts of the state, but overall, a general declining trend in participation. And so, although we recognize that that CWD management tool is an effective tool, its effectiveness hinges greatly on the number of people that are participating and how many deer are removed in those CWD core areas where it's conducted. And so, given the trends in declining participation and support for that management tool, the agency has taken an indefinite pause with our targeted removal efforts. recognizing that if we, it's always been a partnership. Our deer management efforts in Missouri, CWD management efforts, have always been a partnership between us and landowners, hunters, and other members of the public. And so, and if we're going to continue to be successful at managing a healthy deer herd in Missouri, it's got to be with that partnership. It's got to be with the citizens of the state. And so with the declining support for that management tool, we're taking a pause to continue our engagement efforts with the public. We'll be developing an approach to gather input from the public and really look to the future and work with the public to develop a CWD management strategy that, you know, that we can get more folks to support, and then ultimately we can work together to make sure that we continue to have a healthy, sustainable deer herd here in Missouri.
Well, it sounds like that might be a situation that creates more work for you guys, because from what I understand and what I've been reading, there might be more public meetings or more contacts with landowners coming up to discuss these situations and hopefully, you know, clear up some of the confusion that it is out there about CWD, because, you know, in the world we live in today, we're just bombarded every day. We could be bombarded every second of our lives if we want to stay on Facebook and all the social media and read about all the negative things that are going on in the world. But I think it speaks well of the conservation department, because you guys have taken this pause and you are listening to people. And is it true you're going to make more attempts now to have meetings with the public or visit landowners, that sort of thing, to try to educate them and go forward with this program?
Well, we're working on that public engagement strategy right now, but certainly that is our intent, is to engage the public, to share information that we have about the disease and about our management efforts, and to listen to what the public has to say. We have a shared goal with the public of having a healthy, sustainable deer herd in Missouri, and we firmly believe that we've got to do everything that we can to minimize the impacts of chronic wasting disease. And so it's really going to be an effort where we are going to engage members of the public to, again, explain the disease basics, talk about CWD management, receive their input, have them let us know what they're thinking, and then work to develop a collaborative strategy that, you know, that we can both get behind as we move forward and look at the future of managing this disease in our state, because we know there's plenty of examples in other states. We know if we do not continue to actively manage the disease, we know what's going to happen. It's going to spread rapidly. Prevalence rates are going to increase. And so that's one thing we've tried to be really clear on, is this is an indefinite pause on target removal. This is not an abandonment of our CWD management efforts. We're as committed now as we've ever been to managing the disease and minimizing its impact on the deer population. We're just recognizing that a pause is needed on the current efforts that we've been using as we continue to engage the public to develop what that new strategy looks like.
Excellent point. And I have to admit, I kind of got a lump in my throat when I read the news release about the pause. I thought, oh boy, what is going on here? You know, because there's some states that started out managing just like Missouri does, and then they stopped their management process. And I think for state that comes to mind is Wisconsin. Can you briefly tell us what took place up there and what's the situation like now?
Yeah, so Wisconsin was the first state to detect the disease east of the Mississippi River, and they embarked on a pretty aggressive localized management strategy, somewhat similar to what we've done here in Missouri. Illinois is another state that detected the disease right around that same time that Wisconsin did, and also embarked on an aggressive localized management strategy. Wisconsin did that approach for about 7 years, and then the department was forced to stop using that management tool. It wasn't very long after they stopped their active management that prevalence rates, when you hear me say prevalence rate, I simply mean the percentage of the population, deer population, that has the disease. The prevalence rates increased really dramatically, and now in the area where Wisconsin first detected the disease, they've got portions of some counties where more than half of the hunter harvested adult bucks are testing positive more than a third of the does that are shot by hunters are testing positive. So super high infection rates or prevalence rates. Illinois as I mentioned, took a similar approach right around the same time as Wisconsin, and they were able to keep CW infection rates at really low levels for an extended period of time. And really that's what we've seen here in Missouri. Our first detections were in north central Missouri, Macon and Linn counties, and we started doing targeted removal right after we detected the disease. And the percentage of the herd in those two counties that has the disease continues to be below 2%. So really low infection rates. And if we look at the period of time from when we detect the disease and started active management to now, and compare that with states that had a detection and didn't actively manage the disease or didn't sustain it, their infection rates or prevalence rates are much higher than what ours are at 2% levels in those counties. So without a doubt, it's an effective management tool. I mean, there's peer-reviewed publications that attest to that. We've got our experiences here in Missouri and in Illinois as well. So there's no doubt it's an effective tool. But as I mentioned earlier, Bill, in order for it to be effective, clearly you have to have access. You have to have participation to be able to remove the deer in order for the tool to be effective. If you don't, you're just not going to have the level of success that you would if you had access to more land and the ability to remove deer and more deer in those localized areas.
Well, it certainly seems like a common sense thing to me. I like to think, I've got a little bit of brain power between my ears, but just all the drama that's around this whole situation, it's a scary situation for a lot of us. And I particularly think for the older crowd that's been around and seen, the rise of our deer population and being able to enjoy going out and hunting all these seasons and just one season after another. I didn't think I'd ever in my life get tired of deer hunting, but there's so many seasons to enjoy anymore. I can't quite keep up with all of them. That's a bad problem to have, and I hope we can keep and maintain that. But when I see our conservation department making, and other agencies too, making the grand efforts that you're making, and then we get these naysayers that come along, and some of them get some pretty good followings behind them, and they seem to just ignore the science. I've made comments to several of them, just follow the science. And they're saying, what science? Well, there's just reams of information out there if they go to the right sources. They're MDC. I know you deal with other agencies that have information about this, but I don't know. I worry about the mentality of some folks when they just simply follow somebody off of a statement. And of course, I'm sure you guys get pounded every day with the phone calls, messages, and all kinds of things that are criticizing what MDC is doing. But some of the conspiracy theories that have come out have just been incredible. And this was a funny one. This really gets me. I got accused the other day of receiving paychecks from MDC to support them. Are you sending those out? I haven't gotten mine yet.
Certainly not, Bill.
I know Brandon Butler and Shags McLeod, Driftwood Outdoors, they're huge supporters of you guys, and I think they have done an excellent job. They hosted an event with you guys 2 or 3 months ago, and I attended, had a pretty good crowd there. They've been accused of the same thing. I haven't heard the Drury boys say anything about that yet, but if y'all start media payments for media people, be sure and put me at the top of the list. I'll check the mailbox. But I don't know where these kinds of ideas come from. Of course, another one, a few people claim that the insurance company is behind fighting all this CWD stuff, or promoting, I guess, and trying to reduce the deer population so that we won't have so many car collisions with deer. How much truth to that one?
Yeah, there's no truth to that at all, either, Bill. I mean, our goal, if we look broadly at deer management in Missouri, even not talking about CWD, if you look broadly at managing Missouri's deer population, we want to have a healthy, sustainable population. We want to have enough deer that our hunters are satisfied and wildlife watchers are satisfied, while also recognizing that deer can be overabundant. We know they eat farmers' corn and soybeans. They do cause deer vehicle collisions, damage to landscape, damage to the environment and the landscape if they're at if they're overabundant. And so our goal remains, as it always has been, to have a healthy population and to have a balanced population where we're ideally right around that sweet spot where we've got enough deer, where hunters are seeing deer, harvesting deer, having good hunts, but we don't have such high levels that they are causing, you know, a ton of damage to agricultural crops and deer vehicle collisions. So we've always tried to find that sweet spot, which can be difficult to do. It's an active process that we do every year, but that has not changed. That overarching objective of having a healthy population that's balanced and existing at that, you know, ideal sweet spot has always been our goal and continues to be moving forward.
Absolutely.
And CWD certainly threatens that, and that presents a huge challenge, and that's why we're so committed to managing the disease, because we know from other states that have high CWD prevalence rates, it's not a situation that we want to be in, and it threatens the species that we all love so much, and that's why we're working so hard.
Absolutely. And again, I think you're on the right track, and just looking at history, you know, you just discussed Wisconsin, there's other states that have problems as well, and we don't really have time to go into all of that, but boy, I hope we stay on the right track and continue to do what is right by our resources. And, you know, we listen to all the hoopla and that sort of thing that comes out every day. But I think we need to understand, I want my listeners to understand, that the majority of Missourians are still in favor of what the Conservation Department is doing. All right, we need to take just a short break here. Folks, don't go away. We've got a lot more to talk about CWD, and I have on the program with me Jason Isabel, who, hey, CWD is near and dear to his heart, because I know he spends a great deal of his time working on this program, and he's the Servant Program Supervisor with our Missouri Department of Conservation. We'll be right back.
Our forefathers gave us a Bill of Rights. One of those is the right to step in the front door of Pond Center, where the faint sound of eagles screeching from on high a bounding purple mountain's majesty browse the walls full of glorious firearms. It's hard not to shed a patriotic tear as your red, white, and blue blood becomes fortified by the sight of true freedom. Pond Center, located at 408 Highway 72 East in Rolla, Missouri. Or give us a call at 573-426-GUNS.
Hey, this is John from CoAngler.com. Did you know that CoAngler.com is the newest online platform to connect anglers for fishing trips? You can create your free account, offer and request fishing trips, connect with anglers in your area, share some costs, share some knowledge, and share a great time in the outdoors. Whether you're fishing from a boat and you got an extra seat and want somebody to come with you, or you need some help shuttling those kayaks for your next float trip, CoAngler is a great way to connect with like-minded anglers in your area for a great time out on the water. So get on CoAngler.com and let's go fishing.
Hey there, listeners. At Conservation Federation of Missouri, we're more than just advocates for our environment. We're active in making a difference through hands-on programs that protect and preserve Missouri's natural resources. By becoming a member, you're supporting impactful initiatives like Share the Harvest, which provides venison to families in need, and Operation Game Thief, which helps combat poaching and protects our wildlife. You're also contributing to the RISPR grants, which fund local conservation projects across the state. Your membership makes these vital programs possible, ensuring that we continue to serve both our communities and our environment. Plus, as a member, you'll receive updates on these programs, invitations to exclusive events, and the opportunity to get involved in the work you care about most. Visit confedmo.org/join.
Hey everybody, this is Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors.
Together, we can support programs that protect Missouri's wildlife, waters, and wildlife. Be a part of the Conservation Federation of Missouri, where action leads to conservation.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
This is Dan from the White Buffalo Fly Shop, your gateway to Missouri's blue ribbon trout streams and world-class smallmouth water. Whether you're headed to Mill Creek, the Kern, or the Gasconade, we've got the flies, the gear, and the local know-how to help you fish with confidence. If you're looking to sharpen your casting skills, join one of our hands-on clinics. Or if you'd like to craft your own fly rod, build it with us in one of our rod building courses. You're always welcome in our fly tying nights to swap stories, share patterns, and get the latest hatch reports. White Buffalo Fly Shop is more than just a place to gear up. It's a hub for our local community. You'll find us at 605 North Pine Street in Rolla or online at whitebuffaloflyshop.com.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I hope you caught that first segment. I have on the program with me Jason Isabel, who's the Survey Program Supervisor with the Missouri Department of Conservation. He's also a certified wildlife biologist. And Jason, man, great to have you on the program. How long have you been a wildlife biologist?
I've been with MDC, Bill, for about 15 years now. It doesn't seem like that long, but it's been, closing in on a couple decades. It's been absolutely wonderful. I absolutely love the work.
Well, that shows that, hey, I'm happy you landed with MDC. We're famous. I like that. We're famous, you know, for having a great conservation department. And we are, you know, I've traveled a bit of the world. My little business I have in outdoor communications has taken me all the way from Alaska to the Yucatan, Mexico, and a few other places as well. And many, many times I've had people ask me about the Missouri Department of Conservation. How did you guys go about, you know, bringing about this 1/8 of 1% sales tax that everybody pays to pitch in for your conservation department? And of course, you guys have followed the conservation model that has been so successful, but it's not without its lumps and bumps. And CWD's issue has certainly been one of those. And to kind of pick up where we left off in that first segment, you explained to us about the insurance company. There's no involvement in the insurance company trying to promote, you know, CWD or being against MDC. It's just not a truthful issue. But another question that a lot of people are throwing out and fussing about MDC is money. Let's say the CWD is just a big money grab. You guys are just trying to get all the federal funds you can, you know, and you're all getting big bonuses and on and on and on. Any truth to any of that?
No, there absolutely is no truth to any of that, Bill. I think in what's interesting about that misconception is it's completely the opposite. CWD drains our resources and we end up spending money to manage the disease that we could easily be spending on other conservation priorities, but we recognize that CWD is a huge threat, and so it's worth investing to protect the important resource of DRR. So, yeah, not only, of course, we're not profiting from CWD management, it's the complete opposite. It's a drain on the resources, and I think where some of that misunderstanding comes from, I think part of it's associated with the Pittman-Robertson dollars that state fish and wildlife agencies have been getting since those funds first became available back in the 1930s. They have nothing to do with chronic wasting disease. Chronic wasting disease hadn't even been detected in the 1930s. So state fish and wildlife agencies have been getting the federal excise tax based on the size of the state and how many licensed hunters they are. They get funding for conservation related work that they get to choose with some sideboards what they spend it on. And so at the case in Missouri, after detecting chronic wasting disease, we have chosen to take a portion of those funds that we would get regardless of whether or not we had CWD and to use those funds to help reimburse for a portion of the cost of managing chronic wasting disease. So it's no additional funding that's coming into the department than we would get whether or not we were managing the disease, whether or not we had even detected chronic wasting disease. So I think there's some confusion there. There's also the CWD Research and Management Act that passed a couple of years ago that involves folks being able to apply for grants to be able to get funding for research and for management, and MDC has never gotten any of those grants. Well, so I think folks are just a little bit confused as to the PR dollars and the CW Research and Management Act, but at the end of the day, there's no additional money coming in because of chronic wasting disease.
Well, an excellent, here in Missouri. Yes, the excellent point you made was that MDC actually spends some of their own funds on CWD, and that brings me back to the point of the pause. Hey, I hope we don't pause too long, because if, you know, you lose ground and then you spend money again on advancement you had already made. So I hope things flow quickly enough for you that you can get right back on this CWD program and keep managing the way we need to be managed. And of course, another, it's not a fact. It's again, opinions, not very good opinions in my opinion, but people talk about the numbers of just tens of thousands of deer that you guys are slaughtering to cover CWD. And in fact, the numbers of deer that you're taking are very small in comparison to the total deer population. Can you give us some figures about that?
Yeah, certainly. I think there's a variety of reasons why some folks are opposed to targeted removal, but I think a big part of it, and this is based on the conversation that I have with folks, is based on, as you said, Bill, a misunderstanding about the scale at which that activity occurred and the number of deer. And so if we look at targeted removal, it's been conducted on less than 5% of Missouri's landscape, less than 5%. It's only conducted within a mile or two of a detection. So 95%+ of the state has had zero targeted removal. And if you look at the number of deer removed during targeted removal since we started, it's roughly 27,000. And that's across all the core areas through time for over a decade. And so folks will look at that number and think that, you know, 27,000, that's a lot of deer. Let's compare that to the number of deer that hunters have shot during the deer seasons in Missouri during that same time period. It's about 3.7 million.
Yes.
So hunters have shot 3.7 million deer in the state of Missouri during a period where about 27,000 have been removed during targeted removal. So it pales in comparison to hunter harvest. And even within these core areas where we are doing the removals, in most of those areas during a average hunting season, hunters are removing more deer in those areas during the deer season than were removed after the season during targeted removal. So unfortunately, there's just a lot of misinformation about the scale that we're conducting it at. There's folks assuming that it's being conducted all throughout the state and all the counties. That's never been the case. And there's also been the big misunderstanding about the number of deer that are actually removed. And then I've visited with some folks that have a misunderstanding about what happened to those deer that were removed during targeted removal.
Right.
And I always tell folks, we test all the deer that get removed during targeted removal. All of the ones that do not test positive for the disease end up getting processed, and the meat is given back to those landowners where the deer came from. And if the landowners don't want the meat, it gets donated to the Share the Harvest program. None of it's wasted.
Doesn't get any better than that. Now, actually, I think read a piece recently where the Share the Harvest program might be expanded to help with this situation. Is that true?
So we've got a detailed position, a term, 2-year position right now for a staff member that their job is to take a hard look at the Share the Harvest program, work with our cooperators and collaborators on that program to try to bolster it moving forward. And that's something that's independent of chronic wasting disease. We've recognized that program, obviously, is a super program. You've got hunters that give them an outlet if they harvest more deer than they can consume, and it provides high quality protein for those that need it. But we've also seen through time declining number of meat processors that have participated, and recognizing that with the number of deer that we have in Missouri, and there are plenty of places in Missouri where we'd like to see hunters harvest some additional deer. And so if we're asking hunters to harvest additional deer in portions of the state, we have to provide them with an outlet for the surplus venison if they already have what they need. So if you, for example, you're a hunter, let's say your family eats one or two, if we're asking for additional deer to be harvested in some areas, if they don't have an outlet for those extra deer, they're not going to harvest extra deer. So really, it's a hard look at that program to look at the long-term sustainability. How do we get additional funding for the program to help pay for the cost of processing? How do we work with the meat processors to develop a system that's easy and efficient for them. And I think as we look towards the future of deer management in Missouri, I think Share the Harvest is going to be even more beneficial than it has been in the past, just in terms of having a tool that will help the hunters harvest additional deer and have a place that's easy for them to donate and to put that high quality protein source in front of the many folks in the state that could use the additional protein.
Absolutely. I think it's a fabulous program, but please pass a note on to the person in charge of that program. They need to send me some deer meat. I donated my first deer I killed this year, assuming I was going to kill another one. I haven't hunted a whole lot, and I haven't killed that second deer, so I might be eating peanut butter this winter instead of deer meat, you know.
Well, you got an extra week. You got another week left, Bill.
Oh yeah. I'll get out there. I'll give it one day anyway. You know, I'm not the hard charger I used to be, and
I understand.
Yeah, I won't starve to death for sure. Well, another criticism that's come up, and you've heard it as well. You guys are being accused of being poachers because you're hunting over corn piles and using night vision equipment. And it's just a management tool, correct?
That's a question I get very, very frequently.
I bet.
Bill, it is. And I think that is the distinction that we make, is that targeted removal was never deer hunting. It is a disease management tool. It is a tool that, in order to be effective, we have to be efficient. In order for us to remove the deer that we desire to remove in those core areas during target removal, we needed to do so as quickly and as efficiently as we can so that we can work in multiple areas. And so during targeted removal, removals can occur after dark. They can occur with thermals and spotlights and use of bait. And those are methods were not just only allowed by our staff. We have landowners in those core areas that participated in targeted removal as well, and they were able to use those methods too. So it wasn't just MDC. The landowners and their designees were able to use those. And each year during targeted removal, on average, about a third of the deer that were removed by landowners and not MDC staff. Mm-hmm. So we recognize that those methods are not allowed during deer season. But again, target removal is never deer hunting. It is disease management. And so if we have a goal of removing a certain amount of deer in a core area, using those additional tools allows us to go in to be really efficient and to move on to the next place. And I'm confident that we would not have seen the success that we have seen with target removal had we not been able to use those additional tools. We just simply would not have been able to remove enough deer in those localized areas to keep CWD infection rate low if it had not been for the use of those tools. So I certainly understand if you're a hunter, you might be wondering, well, how come we can't use those tools during deer season, but targeted removal they can? And I, again, to mention it one more time, I just draw the very large distinction that it is a disease management tool, target removal is. It is not deer hunting. And in order to be successful, we have to use those additional tools to be able to meet our goal, which at the end of the day is a healthier deer population.
Absolutely.
In the absence of management.
Yeah, it makes totally good sense to me. And another thing, in talking to a few people who participated in this program, the corn piles that are used to attract deer do not stay there all year long. It's a very short-term situation where, you know, they take out X number of deer and then those corn piles are cleaned up quite often within a week or two. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And so not only is it not deer hunting, it's a disease management tool, but the way that we use it, as you mentioned, Bill, is very strategic. So we've got, let's say there's a property where the landowner has said, okay, target removal can occur here and you can remove, I'm just making numbers up, in this case, five deer. So we'd have the bait pile up, there'd be a trail camera on it monitoring that. As soon as deer begin using the site, go in, remove the deer, and then as soon as that goal is reached on that particular property, corn gets cleaned up, cameras removed, and we're done, and on to the next. So you're very right. It's a very short, discreet period of time in those localized areas, very different from a situation where, for example, feeding could be allowed for an entire year where you've got multiple people that have bait sites out for a prolonged period of time, which obviously increases disease transmission.
Exactly. And that's been an issue I've heard people mentioned a number of times. And I've talked to a lot of outdoorsmen. I talked to a young man who's quite a bow hunter, usually takes very good bucks, like out of Dent County every year, and he puts in a lot of time at it. And I like to approach people, you know, what do you think about the CWD situation? He took a deep breath and he said, well, I was completely behind MDC with what they were doing, but I talked to a neighbor farmer who participated in the program, and it said he was just flabbergasted. They came in and killed 100 deer on this place. He said there was just blood everywhere, you know. And I asked him, I said, could you, I'm sure he took pictures of that. Could you get me photos of that? I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for the photos. I don't think there's been any farm that I know of where there's been 100 deer removed from one farm. So,
no, and I think that's a big part of the issue, Bill, is there's, you know, there's stories that are being shared and folks taking them as truth when in some cases they're simply not. So I would always encourage folks, if you hear something that you think you wonder, I'm kind of curious about that, doesn't sound quite right, give us a call. We're happy to explain it. You know, for example, I had a call come in, you know, a week or two ago where a gentleman had said, you know, I'm not seeing the deer I want to see this year. And I heard that my neighbor had done targeted removal and I'm wanting to know, you know, how many deer were removed and how long targeted removal is occurring. When I found out what county he was in, it's a county that we have never detected CWD in and had never done targeted removal in. So,
wow.
I was glad that he reached out because I was able to clear it up and say, well, you know, there are a number of reasons why you may not be seeing the number of deer that you want on your property, but I guarantee you it's not because of CWD management and target removal because we've never even done it in the county. We've never even had a positive detection. So I appreciate the fact that he had heard something, reached out to us to clarify, and I was able to clear that up for him.
Absolutely. Hey, go to the source and get the right information.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of other topics I want to cover just real quick, like before we close out here, Jason. Some people are claiming that MDC, you know, is collaborating with other governmental agencies to have a power grab, basically, to control our food source. Are you guys into controlling our food source?
Absolutely not. And I struggle to understand where that's even coming.
You have to forgive me. I really laughed at this one, but yeah, I can't imagine.
I just think about, I mean, deer hunting and all of the venison that folks are able to consume because of it, and which is absolutely great. I mean, in order for us to manage our deer population at desired levels, hunters are the ones that do that. And so when you think about 300,000 deer getting harvested by hunters and all of the meals that those deer provide to those folks, it's absolutely wonderful.
It is.
It's a great thing.
It really is. All right. One last quick topic. Some people too are out to defund the Missouri Department of Conservation because they're going to vote against the next tax coming up, which is for DNR and not MDC. Straighten that one out for us.
Yeah, I've heard of that one. And when we started the conversation, Bill, we just discussed why we are pausing target removal, and it's because we have seen declining participation in the management tool and declining support for it. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Department of Natural Resource tax vote that's happening this year. That's completely unfounded.
Yeah, and again, I encourage people, hey, vote for that DNR tax as well. You know, our state park system is a great, considered one of maybe best four in the nation. And I used to work for state parks many, many moons ago, back before they got their tax money. I tell you, it was a pretty poor way to live because there wasn't a lot of money come in there. But today, you know, and it cost us so little per capita, you know, to vote for this Department of Natural Resources tax, which is for soil conservation and our state parks. And of course, we don't vote on the MDC tax because that was put in permanently, I guess you say. And it's been around for, gosh, what, 30 years now or so? I can't remember the date it passed. I carried petitions way back when. But it's a fabulous tax, 1/8 of 1% sales tax. And I've seen different figures on what it cost us per capita, anywhere from like $30 to $250. But even if it's the top of the scale, it's very minimal per person in the state of Missouri to have the resource management that we have. Well, Jason, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program today. I know we probably just touched the tip of the iceberg here, but I think the most important point that you made through the whole conversation is that if you have a question about CWD, you hear all these rumors, all this misinformation, people who seem to want to destroy what we have built, they can call the Missouri Department of Conservation and get answers. Is there a phone number or an individual that they should point those questions to? Might save you guys some telephone time.
Yeah, I mean, they're more than welcome to reach out to me directly, Bill. I'm happy to visit with folks. 573-815-7901, extension 2902. That's my direct line, and I'm happy to visit with anybody about it.
Okay, though. Well, I want to wind up and tell people, too, that I think we're very fortunate here in the state of Missouri. We've got two whitetail managers at the top level echelon in the Missouri Department of Conservation. Jason Sumners, who's the director of the Conservation Department, I guess was essentially in your position at one time, maybe. Certainly
involved. He was.
Yeah. And so he's moved up to lead the organization, I think doing a tremendous job. And here you are now with almost 20 years experience in deer management. Boy, I scratched my head and wonder, what do people want? What more can they ask for? We've got lots of experience. You guys are on top of the game and highly recognized across the country for the efforts you've made. So I encourage all of you out there and listeners to support our Missouri Department of Conservation and our state parks as well. We have it great here in the state of Missouri. I love it. I intend to spend the rest of my life here. Jason, thanks once again. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks. Sounds great. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Folks, we encourage you to get into the outdoors, make some memories, and take somebody with you. I'm Bill Cooper.
People love a good mustache. People also love a good firearm. The fine people down at Pond Center like both. They have the largest selections of firearms in the area, and with a friendly, knowledgeable staff of hombres to help you pick the gun that's right for you, you could end up riding into the sunset with a gun you love. Find them at pc72guns.com, on shelf, in store, online, or give them a call at 573-426-GUNS. That's Pond Center. Guns welcome. Mustache appreciated.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, the Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Pico Lures, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, Expedition Trailers, The Rambling Angler, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.